Cretans, this is Madhouse Maniacs. I'm Master Seth, your Master of Ceremonies.
And I'm Mistress Dandelai, your Queen of Creep.
And here we are again on the Movies from the Madhouse podcast. What do we get into tonight? Something weird.
Something weird.
And it's a fitting title, 1967 Something Weird from H.G. Lewis, the man behind Blood Feast, 2000 Maniacs, The Gruesome Twosome, The Wizard of Gore, The Gore Girls. Oh, shit. Yes. So much cool shit. But
this stuff is so fun.
But this one's strange even for him.
Yes. Strange and fun.
Not a gore movie.
No.
Not a gore movie.
No.
Something totally different. Something weird.
Something weird. Something weird and witchy.
Yeah, it's all kinds of things. So that's going to be our movie tonight, and it's going to go bonkers. I mean, I've looked at my notes, if Mistress Dandelai's or anything like mine, because the movie moves at, like, this breakneck pace of ridiculous shit happening that you're just like, I need to touch on this.
Yeah, you know? There's so many, like, hilarious things said and done that it's, you know, it's like, I don't want to miss that. But, yeah.
Oh, before I forget, real quick, this note, I've heard that this helps if I do this early on. We're going to start doing it even more in advance. The movie that we're watching tonight is streaming on Tubi. So if you have Tubi, that's where you can go watch it. So, like, because, I mean,
yes,
our podcast always has a lot of spoilers. So if you want to watch the movie before you listen, you can see it on Tubi.
Yes. Yes. Tubi. I love Tubi.
Yes. So what's been going down?
Way too much.
Of course, there's all that shit with Ukraine and Russia.
Yes.
That sucks.
Heart is with the Ukraine people.
But there are hundreds of other outlets you can hear all the details in more detail than we can possibly give to you. And that's not what you come here for anyway. So that's all we're going to say about that. There is one thing that is getting talked about just about nearly as much. And that is the new Netflix Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
And with all this, it just seems so, like, stupid to me. Just saying. It's like, oh my god, all this, division going on about one film.
What? I mean, I pay attention on those goddamn Facebook groups and shit. And basically every big horror movie that comes out is this divisive in that community at the moment. We had it happen with Malignant. We had it happen with Halloween Kills. We had it happen with, of course, Midsommar and Hereditary are big ones.
Which are fabulous films.
And these are movies that apparently you're only allowed to feel like one way or another. And if you don't feel the same way as someone else, that person's a fucking idiot.
Oh, no.
And doesn't either doesn't get it or is a pretentious.
Oh, that sucks.
No, there's lots of infighting about the quality of these films and
why can't everyone just agree to be like, hey, I'm not into that, and it's like, oh, that's cool.
I don't know. Like, people have tremendously strong opinions on these films.
I don't know. And I mean, like, here we are. We're gonna just talk about films too, but insulting each other or, you know, creating more division between the horror community. We're all family.
Yeah.
You know, I don't quite understand that. Especially right now in the world. I'm like, that is the last damn thing we need.
Well, we could have a gigantic discussion about how the internet is ruining people's minds. And social media in particular is ruining people's minds.
Right. I know. I just...
It's ruining... People are losing a sense of nuance, I think. You know what I'm saying? It's everything is either tremendously good or tremendously bad.
Right.
And if one facet of something tremendously good is bad, that people have basically decided that ruins it.
Yeah, that's a shame.
That's a whole different... That's going into a deeper argument about human nature than about just horror movies that people feel strongly about. But sure. I guess all that shit's related. All that shit's psychology.
It is. It's all connected that way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For the record, I have not seen the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I do not have a strong opinion on it. The first Texas Chainsaw Massacre is one of my favorite films of all time. Only Night of the Living Dead is with it. Those are the two for me.
So such a great one.
And you know, I've seen two a few times. I've seen three, I think, once. I see Next Generation a couple times. It's getting a cult following now, but I think the only time I watched Next Generation, I found it to be goddamn near unwatchable. But that's the one with Matthew McConaughey and Renee Zellweger.
Oh yeah,
did you see that one?
That was weird.
Didn't like it. I saw the remake, didn't care about it. I didn't see the beginning. I didn't see the one called Leatherface that isn't part three. The prequel, no. Leatherface. I didn't see Texas Chainsaw 3D. And so maybe one of these days I'll delve into all that shit and just watch the whole goddamn series. Even though I hear it's kind of disappointing, you know, for the most part. That's not shocking to me. This happens.
You know how I am about certain things. If I don't want to... If I don't want to watch something, if it's not exciting to me or thrilling to me or...
Yeah.
Whatever, I'm not gonna do it.
Here's my favorite is when people tell each other that if you liked this or you didn't like this, you're not a true horror fan.
That sucks.
It's fucking ridiculous.
That's not fair.
You know,
everybody.
I might question your opinions and your wisdom if you were to say that the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre or Night of the Living Dead or something like this sucks. But I guess if you like different shit, you like different shit. But nothing makes you not a horror fan. If you like watching horror movies and you like reading horror books, and you wear the t-shirts and you have the posters and you have the action figures and all that shit, it doesn't matter if one of the movies that's real popular if you don't like it.
Exactly.
I don't give a flying fuck about the Amityville Horror. Confession time. Right? I don't care about Amityville. I don't think it's a very good movie. I think it's a boring film. And I know some of the movies I love so much, people would be like, but that's boring. No.
Yeah. No. We're all different.
Personal preference of shit.
That's the thing. We're all different. And that is what makes... That's what makes it all so fucking cool.
Yeah.
Is that everybody has their own likes and their own opinions. And yes, we can be like, oh, that is fucking stupid. Whatever. But not really. Like, I mean, everybody has their own thing. And...
Oh, I say... I am perfectly within my rights to say a movie's stupid.
Mm. Absolutely.
But I am not within my rights ever to say that somebody is stupid for liking or disliking a certain movie.
Exactly.
The exception is when it's somebody I'm tight with and I'm being a smartass.
Well, that's different.
But being a smartass is a whole different thing.
It kind of runs in your blood.
Well.
It comes naturally.
We have been watching Ghosts.
Yes,
The British show Ghosts. That's on HBO Max.
I like it.
I've got a bunch of streaming services on a credit card because I'm trying to build my credit. It was terrible. So I'm like, I'll just get a credit card and get all the streaming services and pay for it on time. I'm burned out on streaming services now. I don't want to get any more. I think Arrow looks like a good service. I'm not going to get it. I'm not paying for any more. I'm not getting Paramount Plus.
Right.
I'm not going to do it. That's ridiculous. I might cancel Hulu.
Yeah.
Because I don't watch anything on it.
There's a few things we don't really need or watch the funny anything
thing,
on. Though,
the funny thing is, as a family, the ones we pay for, I need, as four people live in this house,
mm-hmm.
I need, you know, can you imagine if I just got rid of them all except the ones I liked, that I watched the most
shitty.
On? Every you know, it's like, sorry kids, all we got is Shudder and Criterion Channel and Troma Now.
Yeah, they'd be like, wow, you guys suck. We hate you. No, that would not be cool at all. We can't do that.
I almost never give a shit about anything on Netflix. Mm-mm. Rarely on Hulu, although we did watch Titane on Hulu the other night.
Yes.
That was a strange one. I'm going to watch that again.
so the next bizarre.
Day the next day I was like, I decided I really like it. It's bizarre as shit. I would say that there are tinges of Eraserhead bizarreness in it.
There's a lot going on in that film. A lot. It goes all over the place. It was very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was very, like, crushingly uncomfortable.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Through the whole thing.
crazy shots. Crazy shot compositions. Cinematography and shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lovely looking film.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Nightmare Alley.
Nightmare Alley. That was beautiful.
It was pretty good.
It was
It was absolutely everything about it was good. It's just the final product wasn't as satisfying as I was hoping for or expecting. I need to stop expecting.
It's hard when one has high expectations of something, you know, or it doesn't end up being what you think or want, you know. Like, it leaves you disappointed in some way. But I thought it was beautiful. I love all that circus shit.
Yeah.
I love it so much. And then he went on to do, I mean, the circus stuff was only one little tiny piece.
Yeah, it was like the first quarter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe third.
Yeah. Yeah. We have been seeing some interesting things lately. I think.
I think that's just about it.
This film being one of the fucking weirdest things.
So, and we weren't going to do something weird tonight. We were going to do Strip Nude for Your Killer.
Yeah.
The Italian, the Giallo film. tonight's pick is my pick. It was my pick night. So I picked Strip Nude for Your Killer. Didn't know anything about it except that it was a Giallo film. With an awesome title.
Yeah.
Giallo films always have weird titles. Or a lot of them do.
Yeah, such strange and long
Your titles. Vice is a locked room and only I have the key.
Yes.
Black Belly of the Tarantula.
I like that one.
I started watching that Argento one today, The Bird with the Crystal Plumage, but I only got a part way through and then I had to stop. Because you got up and it was time to cook dinner.
Oh my God, I've noticed that some giallos have like the worst music on earth.
You have a big aversion to giallo music.
Yeah.
High-pitched women singers and
Holy shit, it's a thing. Beep, 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 boo, boo, boo. Like, it's all off-key and oh my God.
We covered a giallo film on our YouTube. It was early on our YouTube called The Devil Has Seven Faces.
God. Yes.
That was not even a good giallo.
I so could not stand you fell asleep. That film.
You fell asleep watching that film.
Yeah, it was no good for me. And I love Italian films. Don't get me wrong. I love Italian everything. But, that was...
But we didn't watch it because we're kind of new. I guess we're still kind of new at the podcasting thing. But,
yeah.
This is our fifth episode, I think. Our fifth one.
Oh gosh, I'm not. I can't.
Fifth keep or track sixth? Of shit. It's fifth or sixth.
I think so.
Well, it's fifth or sixth, but so Strip Nude for Your Killer is subtitled, which is not normally a problem for me. I'm fine with subtitles.
Yeah, me too.
But it's really difficult to pay attention to the movie and read the subtitles and take notes.
That was getting in the way.
And we need our notes for the show.
Yeah, even though my notes, seriously, my notes sometimes mean almost nothing to me. I'm like, oh, what? What is that? But still, that was very hard to do. We had to switch movies.
So I just, today when it was time to figure out what else we were going to watch, it was my pick. I was like, what am I? And so I just picked something weird. I was like, oh, it's going to be some weird scene. I had heard before that this was an H.G. Lewis movie. H.G. Lewis movie. One of those H.G.'s. But I'd forgotten. So I wasn't even thinking about that when I picked it. I was just like, I hear it's 60s psychedelia shit, you know. And the Something Weird company got their name from it. I'm like, okay, we'll do that. That's bound to be fun.
Definitely fun.
And then I saw Lewis's name. I was like, oh, fuck, that's right. The movie is fucking bonkers.
It is bonkers.
There's
it goes
shit
all over the place.
There's so much shit that happens for no fucking reason at all.
Oh, my God.
And it's an hour and 20 minutes or something like that. And it's still just so many of these, in classic H.G. Lewis fashion, again, if you've seen them, you still don't know what you're going to get with Something Weird, because this is a different film altogether.
Even it is.
By H.G. Lewis standards. But, Jesus Witchy, Christ.
Weird. ESP. Acid trips.
Yep. A little bit about the Russians.
Yeah.
There was karate.
Yeah, they didn't even go there. There is, yes.
Why was there karate?
Gratuitous karate. Mm-hmm. Or what Joe Bob would say, karate fu.
Mm-hmm. Like, no.
My God.
Now, so, okay. Yeah, again, we're getting in the movie now. We're gonna do
this.
There's gonna be spoilers.
We're doing this.
There'll be spoilers. Let's see how long this takes. There's a lot that happens in this movie.
There's
major points will happen for like 30 seconds.
It's crazy.
Then it moves on to the next thing.
Very quickly.
I guess it's because everything in it is a major part. That's why it's still only an hour and 20 minutes. And some pieces are just long as shit to pad it out.
Yeah, it's weird. There are some moments
there's just
where
long
I'm like,
conversations.
What is this? For what? Like, why is this happening? Yeah, the padding out of things. But still, it goes very quickly. It feels
it's real weird.
Fast paced.
Okay, here we go. So as it opens, we just see this like woman from the waist down walking down the sidewalk street. Walking down the street.
Yep.
And then a guy from the waist down finally catches her, and we see that there's a struggle, but we're still only seeing him from the waist down. And then she falls all bloody faced. Apparently she's been strangled.
Yeah, he's like, and I wrote like strangling a zombie because her face looks like she's already like,
she had a strange look to her.
Dead and has been dead for like a week.
And then it freeze frames on this for all the opening credits.
Yeah.
And suddenly we're in a goddamn martial arts studio.
Yeah, there's just karate out of nowhere.
Yes, two guys taking turns doing karate moves.
Yeah, two white dudes doing karate together.
Now here, I know there are some martial arts experts.
Yeah.
That listen to our show.
Absolutely.
And some of you have probably seen something weird. You're just that perfect combination of martial arts expert, cult movie fan that makes you a madhouse maniac. And and you're probably thinking, now, you guys, that was not karate.
Okay, yeah.
That was obviously jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not, that's why you're a martial arts expert and I'm not.
And I'm not either.
So we apologize for our misrepresentation.
Wrong. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. We're not sure. Yes. Sorry.
Anyway, they spar a little bit and one of them wins. I'm like, okay, so there's going to be karate in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or jiu-jitsu. Or you're right, karate fu.
And if somebody knows, let us know. Like,
you can do that.
School us. School us.
Take me to school.
That's right. Take me to school. All right.
So it just, so one guy wins.
Yeah.
And then we're somewhere else, and there's a couple
all
people
of a sudden,
making out.
Yeah, it's just sucky face.
Fucking aggressively
like,
making out.
All of a sudden,
she's
you just
on top.
Hear this, like,
yeah.
It's.
Yeah.
I call it sucky face because that's what I was like, what is happening right here?
Yeah.
What is going on?
It was aggressive.
Aggressive. Sucky face. A POV shot.
Yeah. And then she gets up. The girl gets up, lifts her face up off him, and says, "You're positively electrifying."
And then
we go on to the next scene. Okay, now we've had two scenes in the film now that bear no relevance
to
the rest of the
connected.
Film. I don't know what they're in the film for.
It's.
I mean, maybe if I watched it again, maybe? I would see that these are characters in the film, but I didn't find them recognizable.
Mm-mm.
Maybe that doctor that's later in the film, maybe he was one of the kung fu guys, because he does use a little bit of something similar to karate.
Yeah.
Or jiu-jitsu later on in the film.
Yeah, you're right.
And some drunken thugs.
You're right. All I know is that as this movie started, I was like, what in the hell is going on here?
Well, she lifts her head up and says, "You're positively electrifying."
Yeah.
It seems like that's so that we can lead to the scene of a guy working with wires on a roof. And he gets fucking electrocuted.
And it's hilarious.
So he falls off the fucking roof. Off the roof when he gets electrocuted. And then the wire comes down and lands on his body.
It's so funny.
Right. And he's shaking there. And finally, a guy gets it off him. And the guy's lifting it, wearing his gloves. You know, he's lifting the wire. But then it goes wild and hits him in the face. So he falls down. His face is all burnt up.
Oh, my God.
Somebody says the ambulance has been called, although I never saw anybody leave the scene.
Yeah, I remember somebody saying, like, oh, he doesn't look good. And why was he up there in the first place? He was an engineer. Yeah. I was like, what?
Should have been one of us. We knew those wires.
What the fuck are they talking about?
It's like there really wasn't a script, like...
Yeah.
I mean, there was a script for some parts, because people are obviously reading lines, but...
Right.
Other times, it's like they just kind of make it up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you got these two guys. Somebody says, did somebody call an ambulance? And this guy goes, yeah, I phoned it in. But this guy's been here the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's that H.G. Wells. Jesus Christ. No, it's not the time machine. It's H.G. Lewis.
That's right. Blood Feast. Blood Feast.
Blood Feast. Blood Feast. Starring Connie Mason.
Connie Mason.
You read about her in Playboy. You
read about her in Playboy.
That's what the poster said. You read about her in Playboy. Oh, so, yeah. And then the ambulance shows up. It's just an old station wagon with some lights on top.
Yeah, it's a station wagon that's moving into the 70s, I say. It's still like a 60s station wagon, but it's turning green, and there's some wood siding that definitely looks like it could be fakey wood siding, you know, which is that classic 70s green wood sided station wagon. It was still a little cooler than that because it was the 60s, but... Right? It's like late 60s?
Yeah, 67.
Oh, see? Yeah, there you 67. Go. 67. There you go. I'm usually pretty... within 3 years, I can get the dates.
Well, you know, now that we've got, I guess, a plot in place...
some electrocuted
guys. One guy was dead. The first guy who got electrocuted was dead. And when the doctor showed up with the ambulance, he went to that guy first. And one of the coworkers said, "That guy's dead, Doc. You don't need to worry about him.
He looks bad.
You should call the coroner for him."
Yeah, call the coroner. The side talk was my favorite in that. Everyone's like, "Oh, he looks bad.
Yeah.
Oh, he's dead. You don't even need to bother." Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, now that we've got a plot in place, it's time for us to look at the sky while there's a 5-minute narration about the sixth sense.
Yes, the sixth sense.
Yes, we do. We look at a blue sky, and there's an authoritarian, not authoritarian, but an authoritative. Authoritative.
Authoritative.
Oh, Jesus. This weed got me. Authoritative voice telling us about a sixth sense, and he brings the fucking Russians into it about how America and Russia are having their ESP war, as far as,
which is pretty crazy considering what's happening, you know, with the whole Russia thing right now. No, there really now
there's always something fucked up going on with Russia.
There was a lot of that ESP stuff with all kinds of government.
Yeah.
You know, the big governments have their psychic spies.
Right.
For sure. People doing a lot of peeping on others psychically. It's called remote viewing. Well, it is. But I love that part. You know me, as witchy as I am. I'm all about that ESP shit.
The guy says that America will be the first nation to speak to other planets because of this ESP revolution, I guess.
Fuck yeah, ESP revolution.
And the last to perish in a nuclear war.
Yeah, the way he says it. The last to perish in a nuclear war.
So, this was made back when people were still scared of nukes, and now people are scared of nukes again.
Yeah, it's
and we still never won that ESP war.
No.
Not that I know of.
No. I'm certain that the ESP is just getting stronger, and God only knows what kind of shit they're figuring out now. You never know.
I don't know. Governments.
Yeah.
Psychic phenomena.
Psychic phenomena.
Just all sounds of a sudden, so fucking like 90s.
People like burnt up and.
Yeah. Yeah.
That it just goes right into that. It's like, oh, the tissue's just too. He burnt so deeply.
You know, this would have been a good X-Files episode.
I know. I was thinking that, too.
Oh, so yeah, we get back into our story. This guy's in the hospital. He's all burned up. The doctors are explaining that it was burned too deep. There's not even any plastic surgery that can be done for this guy.
Nothing they can do.
He's going to be burnt. And he's laying in bed, and there's psychedelic lights all around, and I don't know why. Now, here's another thing about this film. Throughout the film, you just keep hearing these, like, echoey dong, 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 dong noises, you know?
Yeah. The little tweety tweet always reminds me of, like, Bewitched, like Samantha's right. witch, her nose twitches.
Well, I mean, and if you've watched a lot of the Something Weird videos, that Something Weird, the montage trailer
yes.
is on every one of those videos, and at the end it has the Something Weird logo, yep. and just those little tinkles for like a full fucking minute.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why it like kept popping into my head, yep. you know?
That's so cool. You know?
Anybody who's watched a bunch of Something Weird videos knows exactly what I'm talking mm-hmm. about.
I met that Something Weird lady.
That's where you met her at your old work, right?
I met her at BurleyCon.
Oh, right.
She did a talk, a class at BurleyCon, and that was a big deal for me. I really wanted to go to that, and it was wonderful. And it was like an hour and a half long
mm-hmm.
badass slideshow thing, presentation
class. Yeah, what was she to Something Weird again?
She was the partner, like her and her husband.
Okay.
That was their company.
Okay.
And he was all, I mean, it was his baby. Mm-hmm. It was really neat. He's passed on, but it was really neat to hear her talk about all of the trips that they would take to just go hunting for film. I mean, he was just madly in love with finding all this weird shit.
Man, I'm glad he did.
Me too.
Because Something Weird is a fucking treasure trove of films. If you're not familiar with Something Weird video, they I think they're still around. I don't even know if Something Weird is really still around.
She sold it or gave it all to oh God. It escapes me. I'm so sorry. That is awful. But she was doing something where she was giving a lot of the Something Weird stuff over to, like, is it a film museum or something like that. I'll find out, and the next time we're on here, I will certainly let you know. Certainly. But yeah, she was awesome, and her presentation was really great, and I fucking love Something Weird, so it was really an honor to meet her and listen to all the neat stories about hunting.
I'm no expert, but I believe Frank Henenlotter is a important part of the Something Weird team as well. Frank Henenlotter, who directed yeah. Basket Case, Frank and Hooker, Brain Damage.
Yeah.
Just saw him on Joe Bob on that the Valentine's great. Day special.
That was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, that was a fun surprise.
Yes.
Happy about that.
Yeah, I guess they've been friends for a long time.
Well,
which is so neat.
Basket Case was, from what I understand, the movie that made Joe Bob decide to start doing what he was doing. He saw Basket Case and he was like, there's nobody reviewing these movies. These drive-in movies. Nobody's doing it.
Well, that's fantastic.
I might have that story wrong. There's a damn good chance I have that story wrong.
And if he does, school us on it.
School us.
Yes. Yeah, no, I love Frank Henenlotter. That was a great interview. That was really awesome. Mm-hmm. I liked it. He seems like a really nice person.
It's one of them New York guys.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm going to get off on a tangent about New York guys. Because I started thinking about when Joe Bob had, what's his name? The guy who made Maniac Cop.
Yeah. Maniac Cop.
Oh, fuck. Why is his name escaping me? My friend is
in Maniac Cop 2, right? Is it Maniac Cop 2?
That your friend was in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crystal.
She was in the strip club.
My old frenemy. She was a stripper in the strip
club. Yeah.
Maniac Cop.
Oh, Maniac Cop.
Okay, back to
this. Okay, no, so after we learn about this possible, this ESP war between us and Russia, we get back to the guy, again, the psychedelic lights, and
he's really psychic.
Yeah, the doctors are talking about how he's psychic. They're giving him tests.
Super psychic.
Flashcards.
Yeah, he can get everyone.
And then as if to show us a demonstration, we cut to the nurse. There's a nurse in his room, and she's got some cards. You know, it felt like they had a decent relationship, repertoire. together. Yeah. You know, it felt like she had been nursing him for a bit. Yeah. You know, and they had a decent repertoire, and he was guessing all the cards. And she's like, "You're too good." You know.
Yeah. Like they were cool with each other.
He's like,
"Oh,
that's not all I can do," or something like that. You know, he's like, "I can tell you the name of the man you're gonna marry. The name of the man you're gonna marry is the name of is the same name as the man you were with last night."
Yeah, and then he starts talking about creepy.
Yeah, he starts talking about the night they had in the car and all that.
Yeah, like he was totally replaying like them fucking around in the car.
Yeah, yeah, and then he forces himself on her, grabs her up to start making out.
Yeah, supreme creepo.
Yeah, so she slaps him away, you know, and gets the fucking turns on the light, and he starts freaking out like he can't deal with bright light. I thought that was going to lead to something in the film, and it did not.
I did too. I thought
he never seemed to have a problem with light again.
No, I think he just didn't want to be seen.
Oh yeah, that's probably it.
I think that was it.
That's right.
It's not the sensitivity to light. He has,
Yeah, but then she just starts berating him.
Oh, she leaves.
You know,
well,
calls him a freak, tells him he should have died.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
He goes, he grabs her and she's like, "Fuck you." You should have died.
Yeah. And he goes over to the mirror and starts weeping at his reflection.
Yeah. It's like.
Just sobbing.
Fake sob crying.
But I guess that's all the crying you need to do, because all of a sudden we see a sign that says, "Readings, $2, and he's in there with a mask on his face, giving readings.
Yeah, COVID-style mask.
COVID-style mask.
Yeah.
Now, you know, here's the thing about this guy. If his readings are that fucking good, if he can tell you, like, who you're going to fall in love with and all that shit,
Yeah. He
should be charging more than $2.
Yeah. Hey, you know.
$2 is two-bit prices.
That literally, two-bit.
That's two bits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree. I've charged really low prices for some of my readings, and I can do some pretty fabulous readings.
You can do some pretty fabulous readings.
I mean, I'm not like psychic like that guy.
No.
That's, you know, that's extreme.
Extreme!
Yes, Mr. Mitchell.
Yeah. Mr. Mitchell, the psychic. Mm-hmm. So he's giving people readings, and he's, you know, he's okay with them, and then he gets insulted with them. You know, people's emotions are all over the place in Herschel Gordon Lewis films.
They are.
People's moods can switch on a dime.
Yeah, all of a sudden they're like calm, and then they just freak out.
You know, like this woman, he's giving her a reading. I don't even remember what her question was, you know.
And everything's just something stupid.
Yeah, everything seemed to go fine, and she paid him. And then he says, "Oh, and my husband wants me to ask you, what horse is going to win this race tomorrow?"
Well, and
what's
for
the name of the horse?
For a read or two, like, honestly, that's like, what's the lottery numbers? You know,
right.
So for me, somebody that's been a reader as long as I have, I was like, oh, fuck that. Because that's the stupidest question on earth.
Yeah.
And so I loved his answer back to her.
But his answer back to her, he says, he says, "The name of the horse that will win is the name of the horse your husband doesn't bet on."
Yeah.
But he's like towering over her, like he's about to attack her. Then he says, "Get out." After she gets out. Okay. So this is where the movie starts getting real good. Okay. This old hag comes creeping in. And this is like...
She's like 20 and supposed to be a hag.
They suck some Cocoa Puffs on her face, you know, make her warty. Made a lip tattoo on her knee.
I don't know what that was all about. It's like a lip band-aid. And if they are band-aids, I love them.
But this was like high school auditorium type shit. When she comes out, because they're not facing each other. You know, when she comes in, she keeps facing the camera.
Yeah.
Like we're an audience, and it's like, if for them to face each other, her back would be to us. So she needs to prance about with her face toward the camera so that we could see that she's an ugly old witch.
Right, which is like so, you know, like the ridiculous, like, oh.
It's like a high school play when somebody, the character is introduced so that everybody can clap for them and laugh, you know, because they're a comedic element.
Yes.
But she comes hobbling in there. And she's looking, he's got this book, this witchcraft book. She calls it, she notices his Bible of the witches.
Oh, yeah, the witch's Bible.
Yeah, and then she passes her hand over and it disappears. And she says, I'll make you a bargain. Be my lover and you can have your face back.
And he's like, fucking that.
He says, you're uglier than me.
Oh, my God.
He laughs at her.
She's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, and so what does she do? Well, she fixes his fucking face. And yeah. Then she leaves.
Yeah.
So that's odd.
Yeah. All of a sudden, he's like pretty faced again or, you know.
Yeah.
He doesn't have Play-Doh on his face.
You know, anymore. I ran into this situation today.
Oh.
I ran into a situation today.
You did?
Yeah, check it out. Oh, my goodness. I didn't plan on having a bargain, and I got the bargain anyway. So I went to the store. And I grabbed the coffee.
Yes.
The expensive coffee. Not because I'm rich, but because I was going to the tiny store, and their only coffee is expensive. And we need it for the morning.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would have had to ride through a possibility of rain.
It's essential.
Oh, my God.
Coffee.
So I got the bag of coffee and I got the box of beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I go up to the counter with the bag of coffee and the box of beer. I put the box of beer on the counter. I put the bag of coffee on the counter.
Yes.
The guy takes the bag of coffee. He takes it to the scale because it's $9.99 a pound.
Right.
He takes to the scale. I'm like, my God, he's going to say this is going to be so much money. God damn it. It's going to be so much money for this stupid fucking coffee. And he comes back, the sticker with the barcode that the way that the scale printed out is on the coffee, right?
Uh-huh.
Has the price on it.
$12.99.
Yeah, I was like, that's not so bad.
$13 for coffee.
He scans the 12-pack of beer.
Uh-huh.
12-pack of beer. So the regular price plus deposit.
Right.
He says, okay, that'll be $14.12.
What?
So I said, okay. And I put my card in, and I took it out, and I grabbed my $13 box of beer and my $13 bag of coffee, and I left.
Oh, honey.
Well, I understand that stealing is wrong. I didn't steal. He just forgot to ring something up. And you know what else? I don't know what it's like where you live, my friends, but here in Oregon, we still have a mask mandate. And this man, and this is not the first time I've seen this particular register person do this, he was wearing his mask down around his chin while he helped me.
Oh, he was rocking the chin thing.
Yep. So thank you, I'll take my coffee for free, you son of a bitch.
I was with Melissa yesterday and I get so bent with the, I don't know why, but seriously, like, people out in public showing their nose, I never thought in a million years, I mean, that a nose would be so offensive to me. I never ever thought that. Honestly, on my way back from Puerto Rico, though, yeah, I started the shit in the plane on the way back from Houston.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, you're telling me.
It is. There were so many people that were not wearing their masks, and the lady right next to me just kept showing her nose, then she'd put her mask over her nose and then pull it back down and, like, rub her nose and sneeze a bunch. And then she's, like, rubbing her nose the whole time. And, yeah. Mm-mm. I know 5-year-olds that can keep their mask on better than that shit.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But, you know, whatever. They're going to lift the mask
mandate. They're lifting the mask mandates.
We don't even know. It's
everybody decided after 2.5 years, they're like, oh, it's not gone away. But you know what? Fuck it. Let's just live. Let's just fuck it. I don't know. Whatever. Okay, fine.
I don't even
fine.
Know what to think about that either.
Whatever.
But yeah, back to something weird stuff.
Yeah.
Because this life is not weird
enough. Our goddamn conversations are all over the places this fucking movie. Anyway, what do you do when you get a new face after you spend so much time getting burned up? Well, you go out to the fucking club and you're going to get some dinner and maybe you're going to get laid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So he goes out to the club and he sees his mark. He sees this girl and she just happens to be being accosted by some drunk.
Yeah.
Who's trying to get her to go home with him.
Yeah, she's cute.
He's drunk as shit, you know? Yeah, she's cute.
She's cute and she... she's calm and sitting there like, I don't deserve this shit.
Yeah.
It's fucking bullshit.
But he comes over and gets rid of the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Our formerly burned man.
And she seems calm, like she's allowing him to be like this, whatever, knight in shining armor or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, she could have taken care of herself. But...
And, of course, so he starts trying to impress her uh-huh. with all of his psychic shit, you know? But it's not working. He's like, I can't...
Ooh, here's my rant. I'm sorry, folks, but that is the moment I was like, I think I wrote in my notes, just like, fucking what? Like, because when someone reads you like that, that is such a terrible, bad thing. It's so wrong to do. It's such an offense. Like, to me, like, somebody reading into me like that mm-hmm. is worse than so many things.
Yeah.
Like, it really bothers me. I find it to be, like, so intrusive. It's really wrong. So that moment I was like, you motherfucker, you just come up on a girl and you're like, oh, I'm so awesome, and think that you're gonna like psychically read her.
Yeah.
Such a dick.
It doesn't work though. Creepy. Not very good. I mean, a little bit. But he gives her like generic answers. You're okay. afraid of death.
Whatever, yeah. He
you're can't afraid read of loneliness.
Her. Yeah.
You know what she says? I've been waiting for you.
Yeah, I love it.
And she takes him away. She lures him away. And now they're in an apartment. Now they're back. I guess it's her place. I don't know. Does she have a place? Is it his place? This isn't the first time this question comes up
yeah,
in this film, by the way. I noticed this a couple times. Not being clear where the fuck we were.
Yeah, this happens a few times where I'm like, what is happening right now? Where are we?
But they're there. They start getting undressed. She's wearing a towel. He's admiring his face in the mirror.
Yeah.
You know. But then, oh boy, big spoiler alert coming up now.
Mm-hmm.
She turns into the witch.
Of course she does.
Starts saying, hello, lover.
She's always been the witch.
Now you have to make love to me.
She turns into the witch. She's always been the witch. She's the young witch, the old witch, the young witch, the old witch.
Yeah, but I said she turned, okay. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I know.
Just saying.
Goddamn semantics.
Yeah, she poofs into the crone.
Yeah. And he doesn't seem to really protest too much. I guess he ate his Viagra earlier in the day, and he's like, I gotta get this boner off.
Yeah. You know, somehow. And he
really likes having that face.
Yeah. I mean, he got that, it was all Play-Doh-y.
Yeah. And he knows that the hag can turn into a cute girl.
Yeah.
You know? So, the fucking is implied.
Yeah.
We don't see them fucking. It's a 1967 movie, and it's not made by Doris Wishman, but
right.
But it's implied that that's what they do.
Yes, they're doing that. Yeah, he gets the pretty face magic. He's all about it. It's all about it.
Yep. It's okay.
And then all of a sudden it cuts to like...
Well, now you remember the first scene in the movie? There was a woman getting stalked?
Yeah.
And got killed? And yeah. Now because of all this electrocution and psychic phenomena, not to mention karate,
yeah.
We've forgotten that there are women creeping about in the night.
Yes, yes.
Getting murdered.
Absolutely.
So that's what this...
murder is happening.
So yeah, we get to this woman and she's... I don't know where she's creeping around. It's like a... Is it a fucking construction site? Is it a series of alleyways? It was hard to tell because it was all lit with her flashlight. She's just wandering around with a goddamn flashlight.
Yeah.
And this guy shows up with like a fire gun can.
Yeah, it's just...
It's like a homemade flamethrower kind of a thing. And he burns her fucking face.
Yeah.
He burns her face until she dies, which doesn't take long. She dies pretty quick. People always do in these movies, in these old movies. People die fast.
I know.
He burns her face. She falls down dead. Her face... And we just watch her face burn. And it looks like it's probably a mannequin.
Melted.
Yeah.
It just melted and like squashed itself. It was awesome.
Yeah. Probably the most violent scene in the film.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun. My notes say, can o' fire, screaming yeah. lady burnt face. Sometimes it's like ridiculous. Yeah.
Okay, so now we're in like a government office. Mm-hmm. Couple of guys in suits talking about how there were 7 women murdered.
That's right. You got to go to Jefferson, Wisconsin.
And there's a psychic who claims he can help find a killer.
That's right. You got to go to Jefferson, Wisconsin.
So, yeah, this guy, apparently he's a doctor. He's got to go to Jefferson. I like that scene where he says, I'll pack my things and get on the road tomorrow. And the guy says, today.
Yeah. He's like, today, Jordan.
Today, Jordan.
The government wants this psychic.
The government wants this psychic. They don't care about the 7 women that were murdered. That's not their thing.
They have this
psychic, the formerly burned, now miraculously healed psychic, who's now he's been making the TV circuit. They mentioned this. He's like a celebrity psychic almost now.
Yeah, he's making the circuit.
He's going to help find these women. This killer.
That's killing the 7 women in Jefferson, Wisconsin.
Now, this conversation between these two guys in suits is way too long.
It just goes on and on. My notes are just like blah, 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 right. Two yucks yucking it up, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Now, so luckily we cut to a scene of two cops sitting around.
And they're just yucking it up, too. Talking
about the psychic coming in, and they're not happy about it. About the government sending their psychic in.
Yeah, they're...
When the psychic wasn't sent by the government, because the government wants the psychic as well.
Yeah, there's a hole there.
Yeah, there's a hole.
We don't want to talk about that, because, you know, there's going to be a lot of those things in,
right,
in his movies. You just have to roll with it.
Right, focusing on that hole would ruin the emotional impact of this otherwise perfect film.
That's right, you know. They're talking about how there's no clues.
Yeah.
No motive.
Yeah.
No pattern. You know, I'm like, no plot.
Don't talk that way.
I'm sorry.
We embrace these films.
We do. I love. Are you kidding me? I had such a fun time with this movie. I took like so.
It's ridiculous. How many notes we have here for this shit. Just so that we can keep up with what's happening in the film.
It moves too fast.
Even though there's these big long scenes.
It's so much.
So as if on cue, the doctor shows up at the fucking police department with in his giant car.
Trunk.
Dude, that trunk was... He had to dig around through a bunch of garbage to find his fucking briefcase. I don't know. Government vehicle. That's he doesn't care if it's trashed.
That's right.
Probably confiscated from a goddamn drug lord.
Some of the cleanest people have the dirtiest cars.
Some of the dirtiest people have the clean... No, that's not true. So we get the classic scene of the doctor and the chief arguing about the validity of psychic phenomena. The chief is a skeptic.
Oh, yeah. Big skeptic.
So they decide... Apparently fucking the psychic, Mitch, and his secretary, quote-unquote secretary...
Ellen Parker...
Apparently, they're just happen to be readily available, you know. Mm-hmm. The doctor's like, well, let's have a test. And so he does the psychic comes in. He's like, yeah, I'll
do a demonstration.
Shock and amaze you. And he does basically like a parlor trick, you know.
Yeah.
He's like, put any object on a blank piece of paper and don't let me see.
Yeah.
Then when the guy puts it down, and then he takes it away, then the guy, the psychic turns around, comes back, and touches the paper, and draws the object. It's like, I don't know how David Blaine does his shit, but I've seen him do better shit than that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So much more striking and amazing.
And the chief is just like, I'm convinced.
Yeah, I'm convinced. I think that we would like to work with you.
Yeah. We're gonna.
What about you, doctor?
The doctor, yeah. What about you, doctor? The doctor says, "Well, he's got potential, but I knew something."
Yeah. The doctor, he's like, "Here's some LSD. Yes.
This is a drug, LSD.
Take this LSD.
Perhaps you've heard of it." Tells him it's fucking,
it enhances ESP.
Yeah, it enhances ESP.
It does.
He's like, yeah, take those sometime. Doesn't give him a specific time when. No, he's just like, dude, take them sometime. Guy's like, well, if it'll help the case. Mitch is like, if it'll help the case, I'll take them.
Okay, I don't do things like that, but.
I mean, it was 1967. There was plenty of people talking about LSD.
LSD.
Yeah.
And you know, at that moment, at that very moment, I'm like, ooh, we're in for a little bit of psychedelic shit coming up.
Yeah.
Because that's always fun. They're anyone's idea of psychedelic trip at this time. I always like to see what people come up with.
Well, what filmmakers come up with
in
their
film.
Nobody that made acid films had any fucking money, you know? No, there were no big budget acid films,
to
you
be
know?
Able to like do these.
There might be scenes
tricks.
Like I guess the big one would be Easy Rider, you know. There was that acid trip in that.
Yeah.
But other awesome. Other than that, they were exploitation films or educational films, and they had similar budgets.
Right.
And sometimes the exploitation films pretended to be educational films.
Indeed.
That's a whole other thing. There are books written on that. And so he introduces the LSD, and then immediately afterwards, the chief is like, I want you all to come to a dinner party.
Tonight.
I'm having a dinner party tonight. Come. And I'm thinking, that guy's going to go to that fucking dinner party high on LSD and all hell's going to break loose.
Yeah, I was hoping for that.
That didn't happen.
I was hoping.
It didn't happen. But still, it was pretty entertaining, that dinner party.
Yeah, I keep seeing the witch. Every time he looks at her, he sees
every time he looks at the girl,
he sees the crone witch and not the young witch that she is.
Yeah.
Everyone else sees the young witch. Every time he looks at her, she's like,
Yeah, that's the other thing. Instead of sitting there calmly like the young woman is, the old hag is, every time he looks at her, she's looking at him like,
That's hilarious.
Okay, with that, it's already that time. It's time for commercial.
Commercial
time.
Indeed.
Okay.
We'll be back.
Funny thing, you know, I need to figure out how to put some commercials in our YouTube, because lately I've started transferring these all to YouTube. When I set up the podcast, I take the two pieces of the thing, I make them one thing, and then upload it to Anchor and put a cut there, and it automatically puts the commercial
in.
I put it onto YouTube, it just says, we're going to go to commercial time, and then immediately says, we're back. There's no commercial on the YouTube
versions. Right, so just letting you know, there are no commercials on the YouTube videos.
And you get some pictures. Yeah, some of them repeat. but maybe you don't want to look at pictures while you listen to the podcast. Maybe you just want to do it on Spotify or any of the other. Then you hear the commercial, which I recorded myself, and it sounds like shit. But in all the time in the year we've been doing this podcast, we are almost at having raised $6 because of that commercial.
Woo-hoo.
And because I contributed $1 a month for 4 months.
Hey, putting in money to grow some money.
Yeah.
You know, seed money.
Yeah, the seeds failed. They just laid in the ground, so I stopped putting more in there.
This is growing. We're having fun. We're having fun. Aren't you having fun, folks?
Nobody ever grew having
you
fun.
You creeps and cretins. You know you are. All right, we'll be back soon.
Okay. We'll be back.
Bye.
Gentlemen, an extraordinary journey into the unknown awaits you. The unimaginably weird, dark universe of ESP, extrasensory perception, crashes into the mysterious depths of black witchcraft. In a strange and mysterious motion picture unlike any you've ever seen. Something weird. Gifted with psychic powers even he cannot understand, this man finds himself catapulted into the supernatural, a world in which magic and witchcraft battle for supremacy with powers ordinary men could never understand. Around this beautiful girl whirls a maniac's bedeviled list of questions. From these eyes spurts a savage curse that kills anyone in its way. Where love and violence have the same meaning, where the flesh can be exquisite or hideous, where forces far beyond the cosmic smash together in a collision that can shatter the heavens. Only a madman could understand it all. Only a wizard or a witch could bring about its astonishing conclusion.
We're back.
We are back.
Unless you watched on YouTube, then maybe you didn't have a commercial. Unless maybe by the time I edit this for YouTube, maybe I'll find a way to put a commercial of some sort in it.
Who knows?
Not a paid commercial, of course. Mm-hmm. That'll only happen when YouTube will monetize us.
Yes, which is going to happen because...
We'll see.
We shall do so many strange and wondrous things that YouTube will monetize us.
But Maniacs, it is a time for a celebration.
Yes, a celebration.
Because while we were on the break, I checked our analytics on our podcast.
Yes.
We got to 115 total plays.
Yay.
An estimated audience of 6. But the milestone here is that we broke $6 of revenue.
Yes.
We are now officially at $6.01 of revenue.
Pretty excited.
$1.05 of that was paid by our sponsor, Anchor.
That's pretty awesome.
So the rest of it was paid by me.
Hey, that's when we first started. We were talking about because I was
testing
earlier.
About how the subscription worked.
Yeah, we were talking about the seeds earlier.
Yeah.
And now...
I dug up
it's
the seeds.
It's growing.
Yeah.
It's pretty
Some
exciting.
Leaves got left and they got dug into the ground. And they're growing.
I'm excited. I'm glad to have you with us. You fabulous creeps and cretins.
It's all 6 of you.
Hey.
From all over the world.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. I love that.
All right. So back to something weird. We are at the Chiefs dinner party.
Oh, yeah.
All kinds of people flirting with each other and shit, you know.
I know.
All this intermingling. I think Mitch the psychic, he's hanging out with somebody's wife.
Mm-hmm.
I know somebody, because another party goer goes to a guy and says, hey, it looks like your wife's smitten with him.
Oh, yeah.
And the husband says the strangest thing. He goes, that better be all she is.
I know.
It's like, I understand the point, but it's a poorly written line.
Definitely.
I don't know why I'm looking for writing in a movie like this.
I know. But yeah, it was.
But I do love these movies. That's the writing, the quality of writing, instead of saying the bad writing, because that makes it sound like I'm insulting it, but I really like it.
Yeah.
I'll say the quality of writing
yes.
is a part. This particular quality of writing is embedded in the DNA of Herschel Gordon Lewis films.
I love
you
it.
You know, that's the way they all are.
Super, super fun.
And this one pulled it off a little bit better than some of them. Some of them are way choppier.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But yeah, everybody's fucking around. The doctor is hanging out with Ellen.
Yeah.
Ellen, the witch.
Yes.
In her young woman form.
Mm-hmm.
Her and Mitch just seem to be basically connected at this point. They're rarely apart.
Yeah.
You know, they're a team. They're a team.
They're a team.
They're a team. They have a deal. A bargain.
Absolutely.
They work together. And the chief gets the bright idea. He's like, I want a demonstration.
Yeah, like
do
right
a demonstration for us. Come on, dance, monkey.
Yeah.
Come on, psychic, exactly. You're in town. Do us a thing. This is the guy that was getting paid for it. I mean, granted, he was only charging $2 a reading, but they said he was on TV.
Yeah.
But no, I guess no. Because he didn't get on TV until he was pretty again. When he was ugly, he was charging $2.
Yeah, that was earlier on.
That was earlier.
But still, he's already, you know.
It's like, motherfucker, I don't do this for free.
Mm-mm.
Especially not for no fucking police.
Yeah, and he was like, I'm not here for your entertainment. But then he...
Then he just decides to do it.
Then he was there for their entertainment.
Yeah. So he sits in a chair and he's telling everybody to close their eyes.
I love that he
and
says...
And think about this. And nobody closes their eyes.
He says, levitation may occur.
Yes. He says, communication. That's the wife that he was fucking around with says something about talking to the spirits. And he says, I can talk to the dead.
Yeah.
But it's dangerous. Levitation may occur.
Yes.
It's like, Jesus Christ, this guy's a hell of a barker.
Ooh.
This guy's a hell of a circus barker.
Ooh, outside talker.
Yeah, he's selling it.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But, yeah, so he puts on this act. He gets all tense in the chair.
Foggy.
Yeah, people start freaking out. They might have seen something in the window. I didn't see because I was furiously writing down notes.
Yeah.
But everybody starts freaking out. One guy yells, what in the name of God or some shit, you know? And then we cut back to fucking Mitch the psychic, and he's like, it's all foggy. It's like, yes, this yellowish fog, you know, dusty old bones filled with green dust. And yes, he's
super.
He's all clenchy. He might be levitating. I can't really tell because it's all dark, you know.
This shit knocked him out, though.
And then he faints. Yeah. And everything's kind of back to normal.
Yep. Yeah. And then this guy is just like chin grabbingly weird. He's just like sitting there, like grabbing his chin, like, I don't know. What is happening about this? That guy just passed out from psychic exhaustion.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a thing.
Who was doing that? I don't...
Some guy. I don't even know.
Just a guy?
Just some dude. Yeah. The music's really strange at this moment.
The music is really strange through the entire film.
Yeah.
It's like this jazz, a lot of it.
Some of it's kind of cool at times.
Jazz really with cool. A flute.
You know? And then some of it's like, whoa. And then they're in a church. Yeah. They're in a church.
Oh yeah, the fucking reverend. The reverend, he's explaining to Mitch. I think the chapel's haunted.
Yeah.
I seen a ghost. My parishioners seen a ghost. Fucking thing's haunted. He says it's gotten so bad.
It's gotten so bad.
The what have they done? What was that wording?
What was it? The whole church has seen ghosts. And they are derelict in their churchly duties.
They're derelict in their churchly duties. Yes. What a wonderful piece of writing that
they
was.
They have become derelict in their churchly duties.
That is lovely. That is gorgeous. I love shit like that.
Me too.
I love shit like that.
Yeah, and then Mitch is like, don't tell Ellen that I'm in this church.
Yeah, Mitch is like, I'll help you out, but don't tell Ellen I was here.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I mean,
I don't know. The witch was like, don't go in the church. I don't know.
He's not a fucking exorcist. I don't know what they think he's going to do. I mean, I thought the extent of his powers was like he could go in there and go like, yep, there's a ghost here. Oh, maybe they want him to communicate with it, yeah, but I thought that's what he was supposed to do at the party.
He was saying that he could communicate with the dead, so maybe that's it. Like, he didn't do it at the party, and...
He didn't do it at the party.
Then we see the, ghostly girl.
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be a different time, but, like, they're talking about it, and then it cuts to the church... But I think it's supposed to be later at night.
Yeah.
I don't know. But here comes the ghost. Right on schedule.
Guy's like, I don't like this very much.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the weird talk, just people talking. They're always
at all. Like, that was the doctor, wasn't it?
I don't like this.
Dr. Jackson. Yeah. What was his name? Dr. Jordan?
Yes. Is it Dr. Jordan? They just call him Jordan. Jordan?
Yeah.
Now, Jordan.
Yeah. He doesn't like this very much at all. And the ghost comes. Fucking, Mitch approaches the ghost. Yes. They're face to face, and the ghost touches his hand and disappears.
She passed on. She moved on.
Yeah. Yeah, he says she passed on.
Yeah, she moved. Moved on.
The reverend's like, why? Why? Why?
She just did. She needed that.
And he's touch. Like, well, she needed touch with the living world.
Yeah.
And he asks, is she gone permanently? And Mitch is like, just shrugs.
Yeah, he just shrugs his shoulders. Like,
and walks
know.
And walks away.
I don't know. He doesn't even bother leaves. Answering. He's no. just like, shrugs his shoulders.
Nope.
It cuts into some like diner.
It's like a
diner bar.
Like a bar. There's a couple drunk guys at the fucking at the counter.
Yeah.
We can see in the background the doctor is hanging out. Dr. Jordan is hanging out with Ellen.
Yeah, he's trying to get some
at a table back there. He's so fucking into her.
He is into her.
He's into her.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not our focus right now. Our focus is these two drunk guys. They're just sitting there, kind of rambling back and forth about how the town was better before the psychic came.
Yeah.
You know? Got everybody against each other and shit.
I know, they're just complaining and murders and ghosts. And
yeah, murders and ghosts.
Something ought to be done. You hear me? Something ought to be done.
Yeah, something ought to be done.
People just dabbling in witchcraft.
then we do focus on Dr. Jordan and Ellen.
Yeah.
In their booth. And he's like asking her, do you know if Mitch has ever dabbled in witchcraft? You know, and all this shit. She's aloof. She's not answering his questions.
Right, you know, because she's the witch.
She's the witch.
She's he's dabbled in me. Mm-hmm. He's dabbled all kinds in witchcraft.
Yeah, so this point in the conversation goes on for not, I guess it wasn't terribly long.
No.
But they decide to leave, and the drunk guys are in the parking lot. And they start harassing them. They're grabbing onto her.
Dude, they just walk by and grab her. And they're like, looks like you changed boyfriends.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Doctor steps in. They're flipping his tie into his face and shit. What is the line? He says, get lost or get hurt.
Yeah,
one of the guys says.
Get hurt.
And so Dr. Jordan proceeds to whoop their asses with karate.
Yeah. Some more karate.
Right, so... Maybe that's the link from one of the first scenes it's in the film.
Absolutely.
I guess we could watch that scene again and find out, but I feel like something weird's maybe not more than a once a year film.
It was really fun. I'm happy.
Oh no, I loved it.
Such a great time.
I thought it was great fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Super amounts.
So, if she's out with the doctor, where the fuck is Mitch?
Well
he's out making out with the fucking with married the woman.
Married woman. They're into each other.
They're way into each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're way into, he's asking questions. You know, what do you think your husband would think if he knew about us? And she's like, the same thing your girlfriend would think. You know? They're just into each other. I don't know where they are. I guess they're at that married woman's house.
I don't know
either.
Who knows, but they're about to, get it on.
Yeah, it looks that way.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Dr. Jordan and Ellen are also in a place I don't know where it is. Originally, I was thinking it was his place, but then I'm like, wait, he's traveled to this town. He doesn't have a place like this.
He's all over her.
Yeah, he's all over her. Yeah, he gets really, really gnarly.
He gets possessed of, he gets really... possessed and possessive of her.
Oh, yeah. He lunges at her and says, I want you. Fucking, it'll be great. You know it.
Yeah.
And she's explained to him, you know, I can't even look at another man. This is important. I can't even look at another man until Mitch is no longer alive.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, boy. Anyway, she bites his ass. She bites him, not his ass. She bites his hand as he's accosting her, and she gets away. Or he gets away. I don't know where they were, so I don't know who escaped.
He lost his damn mind and just attacked her. He's like telling her, oh, yeah, that's just, it's just weird. I can't live without you kind of thing. I need you.
Yeah, it was gnarly.
Mm-hmm.
He's very passionate.
Yeah, passionate in a fucking abusive ass motherfucking way.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of passion is abusive.
It can be.
So Mitch is still hanging out with his married woman.
Yes.
And Ellen is calling out to him psychically. Well, because that's a thing that happens in this film now.
That whole part too. Like the moment he's like, you're a prize. Mm-hmm. And then Ellen calls out to him psychically, and she's like, blah, 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 like the married lady, and he's like, shut up! And yells at her, what the hell?
So you know what happens? His face turns back.
That's right. His face fucking melts.
Look, the married woman, she doesn't see. He's able to get away, but she's funny.
Come
she's,
back, honey.
Come back. I'll go slower, honey.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the doctor just goes right to his bed.
Yeah, the doctor
got,
goes...
bed whiskey.
Yeah, doctor's drinking whiskey in bed.
Yeah, he's got bed whiskey.
Mm-hmm. And he calls up Ellen in the middle of the fucking night. After a couple shots of whiskey to apologize, but she hangs up on him.
Right. And then suddenly his fucking bed sheets just start strangling
him. Now while he's trying to sleep, his bed sheets are trying to strangle him. Yep,
bed sheets are strangling him.
Yep.
That bad whiskey didn't help none.
No. Mm-mm. No, of course. Whiskey never helps anything.
Especially bad whiskey.
This guy doesn't understand that bed whiskey is for the morning, not for nighttime. No. Bed whiskey is much more get up and go. Bed whiskey is different from nighttime whiskey. It's like the difference between sativa and indica wheat.
Oh, God, no. There's an acid trip coming up.
Yeah, not yet. Not yet. It's coming. We're getting there. No, don't forget. I mean, of course, we know who's responsible for the sheets trying to choke him.
Yeah, of course. It's Ellen.
Who is there in his room, in her old witch hag form?
That's right.
Laughing at him.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Powerful witchy hag self.
She disappears. I assume he got back to sleep that night. Well, he must have, because he's in the movie later. Yeah. So he must have. But we don't know that at this point. What we know is that there's this cop, Maddox, and Mitch. And they're discussing theories about this killer. Mitch has decided that the killer is a psychopath.
Yes.
And he hates women.
Yes.
I don't think it takes a psychic to decide this. About somebody who goes around burning women's faces off and shit, but...
Right. He's women. He's a psychopath.
But he thinks he's also not crazy all the time. Thinks he's not always a psychopath. Because that's what Maddox, the cop, is saying. He's like, come on. If he was crazy, we'd be able to catch him.
Right.
You know, he's like, he's not he's crazy all the time. He's a schizophrenic.
Right. And they're always
But if he's sane 98% of the time, and the cop's like, it's horse shit, you know? Mm-hmm. The cop dismisses it. Maddox dismisses it completely.
Definitely dismisses it.
So, you know, just because apparently maybe Lewis realized that the movie was not getting to its conclusion fast enough, and so we just go rapid fire. Mitch goes home and decides,
I'm
going to do this fucking acid.
That's right.
And all of a sudden he's running across this orange beach.
Yeah, everything's all orange sunshine. Yeah. It's all red orange.
Now we're back to those LSD filmmaking techniques.
Yes, I love it.
Lots of double exposures and shit. It's like quadruple exposures.
The kitchen scene was so cool. I thought it was really neat.
Wait, which one was the kitchen scene?
That one that had just like layers upon layers upon layers.
Oh, of him walking through a kitchen. Okay, right.
I like that.
He's running after Ellen on the beach for a while. She's switching back and forth.
I don't even know if it's a beach. It might just be the desert.
I thought it was a desert at first, but then I thought I could see an ocean in the background.
So weird.
I don't know. Everything was orange. It's hard to tell.
It was an acid trip.
Yeah, it's an acid trip.
It was super psychedelic.
And he took three hits.
I mean, he took three hits of acid.
He finds that cop. The cop that was arguing with him. Mm-hmm. In his dream.
Yes.
Oh, no. Here's something. This was another thing that I forgot from before. When he's talking to Maddox.
Oh, the gun.
He's like, I need to see some more evidence that I know you have.
Yeah.
And Maddox is like, just shoves his rifle in his hand.
Yeah.
And Mitch looks at it and he's like, whose gun is this? And Maddox says, let's just give this a break for now, and takes the gun away.
Yeah, it was weird. And then we just move on from there.
What'd you give me the fucking gun for?
What is that?
Anyway, I'm sorry, I forgot that part earlier, but that's important to me because now during his acid trip, he gets shot by Maddox.
Yes, he does, with that rifle.
Luckily, it's a vision. He gets woken from this vision.
Right.
By the phone ringing.
Yes, it was just a psychic.
Who's on the phone?
Vision.
Maddox. Because he wants to meet up with him right now.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy's just coming down off an acid trip. He's like, no, I'm not going to do it right now. We'll do it tomorrow.
Do that right now. Yeah, Mitch isn't into that.
Yes.
Yeah. He can barely breathe.
So now, because the script is moving at rapid speed.
Yes.
Now we have this. I don't know how far later this is supposed to be. I mean, it didn't feel like it was very much later, but apparently some conversations have been had because a couple of cops and Dr. Jordan are talking about what they should do. fucking Mitch saw Maddox kill him in an acid dream.
Yeah, what are they?
So we should go after Maddox right now is the cops thing. Yeah. Which is unreasonable.
Which is weird. You're like, yeah, right, the cops are really going to do anything.
Dr. Jordan's like, quickly. No, it's too early. It's too early, we don't know. He was on drugs. We gotta wait. And they're like, don't you think he could be in danger?
Yeah.
Because Maddox is a cop, apparently. That's another thing I don't know how long this took. Because Maddox has all this information, apparently, too.
Right.
Or access to it. And the doctor's fishy, like, no, we can't arrest him even. It's too early.
So fishy.
So what do we do next? We cut to Mitchell walking down the street. Maddox is up on top of a building across the street and fucking just snipes him.
Just shoots him right in the fucking head.
That's the end of fucking Mitchell.
Yep, boom.
That's the end of Mitch the psychic.
Yep. Mitch is done.
And a cop goes to investigate and he shoots them too.
Yeah.
Shoots that cop too.
Yep. Too late.
Too late.
They were too damn late.
The cops and Dr. Jordan, they run downstairs. Yeah, they hear the shot. They go downstairs. Now, I understand that Dr. Jordan works for the government. I don't know that that necessarily makes him qualified for what happens next. The cops stay there to take care of the fallen cop while Jordan goes after Maddox.
Yeah.
Jordan's chasing Maddox with a gun. Maddox doesn't have his gun anymore. He's running down the street. And he chases him for fucking ever.
I know.
It's forever. And sometimes, like, Maddox will... It's not even like a full one-scene chase. It's like he chases Maddox to a thing and Maddox hides.
It's like, come on.
And he runs past him and Maddox comes back and runs back the other way.
It's like not the exciting chase scene.
Yeah.
It's definitely like
fast forward forever. 5 minutes. He finally catches up to him. Maddox is like, oh no, I'm unarmed. This is murder.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the doctor says back to that. I feel like it was snappy. But he shoots him 5 fucking times. Shoots him once to kill. And then shoots him 4 more times.
Mm-hmm. Which gets brought up later.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we're now all of a sudden we find ourselves with the doctor and the chief of police. And they're talking to Ellen about what happened to Mitchell.
That's right.
You know, they tell her. And after she leaves, the chief starts getting on the doctor, you know. We don't ever see the consequences of that, do we?
No.
Because the chief is like, you know, you shot him 5 times.
Yeah, you shot him 5 times. Why'd you have to do that?
Yeah, why did you have to do that? Like, you stopped us from going after him. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as you had a chance, you went and shot him 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor comes up with some lame excuse.
And then it's just on to the next thing.
On to the next thing.
That's right.
The last real thing. Now we're
Ellen
now
is begging to know if he really, like,
yes,
tried to save.
The doctor and Ellen are in a car.
Yeah.
And Ellen really wants to know.
Yeah.
She's like, I need to
did
know.
Did you try?
Did you try to kill him? Did you try to get him killed? And he admits it was true. Because she had said she could not even look at another man until Mitch was dead.
And he was like, I am that into you. And it's like, ooh, creep.
And she smiles. And he's like, you're not mad. And he goes in to kiss her. And what does she do?
She turns into
the old witch.
Super crony self.
Yep. And she's laughing at him and calling him leather. You know? Yeah. And he goes running off into another poorly lit, I think, construction site. I don't know what this place was. There was sand. There was planks of wood.
And somehow fire.
There were like black balls with fire coming out of them.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were.
Yeah.
But they were around.
And they burnt his
and
face.
And the witch, after the witch chased him forever again, another forever chase through these poorly lit things. I swear to God, I saw the same scene a couple times. The same shot, you know. She's got a cane.
Yeah.
She's chasing
with those
him.
Heels.
Mm-hmm.
She's in those pointy ass heels.
And she still catches up to him. Mm-hmm. Well, no, he trips. She catches up to him. He trips right onto one of these black fire balls. and half his face is all burnt up.
Yep, exactly.
And what she do? She goes up and she says, I can make a bargain.
Yeah, you make love to me.
Yep.
And I'll give you a pretty face back.
Yep. And that's the end.
And boom, it's over.
That's the end of the movie.
It's done.
That's all there is. That's all there needs to be.
Witchcraft cycle.
That's all there needs to be.
That's it.
I
enjoyed it.
I enjoyed the fuck out of it. Ride. I like Herschel Gordon Lewis films, though. They're not for everybody.
No,
some people like them. And you know what? Fuck those people. They're fucking idiots and they're not fucking real horror fans. No.
Oh, honey.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I don't like the Conjuring movies.
I know.
Whatever.
There's room for all of us. There really fucking is.
We'll always, if we really wanted to, we could all find some that we have in common.
I'm certain.
But I'll tell you what, I got a lot of room in my like bucket. I can go from fucking, like I said earlier, Criterion Collection and Troma Now are my two favorite streaming services.
And that's all over the place.
That's all over the place. Mm-hmm. You know what? Those are the two streaming services that treat their movies with the most respect.
Absolutely.
Because those ones, they have special features, DVD features you can watch also.
That was another movie we had just watched. Was a
Night on Earth. Night on Earth, the Jim Jarmusch movie.
I love that Jim Jarmusch movie. I liked it too. Yeah, that was fantastic. If you haven't seen that, it's a good car movie. In cars.
Yeah, all in cars. Taxi cabs.
So good. All over the place.
If you have seen Coffee and Cigarettes, it was kind of like that. Only instead of all the conversations being around coffee and cigarettes, they were in taxi cabs all over the world.
Yeah, I loved it.
I thought it was good. I liked Jim Jarmusch. Most of his movies are little. But with big ideas. Mystery Train is in that same vein. You remember that one?
Yeah.
I guess Dead Man and Ghost Dog are a little bigger.
They are.
In scale.
I love both of them.
Yeah. Oh, another idea I had for tonight. I was thinking about Melancholia.
That was
why I watched that trailer. But then I decided Melancholia might not be a good fit for our fifth episode. So, God, we sure did get away from something weird quick.
Oh, my goodness.
Something weird was... again, this is the time... I said this last time. This is the part of the podcast where it's like, oh, where we ask each other, okay, what do you rate it?
I don't want
to
rate
it. No, I don't do it. You already heard our review. You heard how we reacted to it. Yeah. You heard... If the things we liked are things you normally don't like in movies, that gives you enough of a clue.
Yeah. If,
you know, you heard what we had to say. Anything between a 1 and 5 star rating is irrelevant. I wouldn't know what to give it. Because I don't know what you like.
That's right.
So, you know, you heard what we had to say. We liked it.
Yeah.
If you, we understand it's not like a good film.
Yeah.
But we liked it. And I don't, for me, the number one job of film is to entertain, you know. And I was entertained by it.
I was definitely entertained.
So.
I would recommend it.
No,
I would recommend it to you.
I recommend it too. It's on Tubi. And if I think it's one of the lesser seen Herschel Gordon Lewis films. So if you're like me, you'd seen the must-sees of Herschel Gordon Lewis. Start delving into the other shit. It's all fun. It's all fun shit. Okay, so, that being said, let's get all the other shit out of the way. The first thing, I got an idea from another podcast I was listening to, and I can't remember what one it was. But, I think a lot of them have been doing this. I listen to a number of horror podcasts, so they all start to blur in my head, some of them, except for, like, really exceptional ones. But on this one, what they did was they told you what they were going to watch next time. So that if you wanted a heads up, you could watch it.
Yeah.
Before the next podcast.
Yeah, that sounds great.
I think the plan is to watch... Oh, God, I can't even remember the exact title. If it goes according to plan, this will be our first listener pick. And you're always welcome to tell us what you'd like to hear at moviesfromthemadhouse@gmail.com. Or you can find us under the name Movies from the Madhouse on Facebook, Instagram, Slasher, and Twitter. You can get in touch with us.
Run all the things.
Any of those places. I think next time we are going to watch Horror House on Highway 5.
Yeah, Horror House on Horror House 5. On
Highway 5. The synopsis on Google says Horror House on Highway 5 is a 1985 American slasher film written and directed by Richard Casey. A sociopath dressed as Richard M. Nixon travels a highway terrorizing passing motorists.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
This looks like it's going to... I've never seen this.
Me neither.
I've never seen this. This was requested by a listener. So hopefully that's going to be the thing. And we may even have a guest. I don't know.
Ooh, that will be fun.
We'll see. We might be entering a new whole realm for this podcast. We're always trying to make it better, and we're really new at it. So,
I'm hoping for that.
So, that's the plan. So we'll see how it goes. We got other plans that we're not going to let you in on yet because nothing is finalized and stuff, but there's some, we're always trying to innovate, trying to figure out new ideas.
Got some surprises for you.
I think we'll be filming a new episode of our YouTube show tomorrow night.
Indeed.
So pay attention to our YouTube for that.
Yep.
We would love to have your money. So go to Anchor FM. Is it anchorfm.com or is it anchor.fm? What is it? It's Anchor.fm, and look up Movies from the Madhouse and give us your money. You can make a monthly donation.
Yes, you can, and we would be so grateful.
Yeah, yeah. And pretty soon we're gonna start having some perks. If somebody ever does it, then we're gonna figure out some perks for them, some special things for them. And eventually, when we get more, and we're gonna start a Patreon, so we'll have to figure out special perks for those maniacs too.
Yes.
We want to make y'all happy, but if you pay us, we'll give you special things.
We've got some fun things
that we're
creating in the works. Mm-hmm. I love the ideas of maniac cards, so.
Yeah.
Special maniac cards. I'm going to work on that.
Like was mentioned in our YouTube episode when we did Silent Night, Bloody Night.
Right, we've got that's all where the we got the idea now.
For the maniac.
We even have a laminator.
Yeah,
indeed.
We're moving on up, you know. But together. if you donate to us, then we can buy laminator sheets.
Yes, exactly.
The plastic
that would be great.
See, your dollars go to help us enrich your experience as a podcast listener.
That's right. That's right.
So,
I can't wait to watch the next thing and come back and tell you all about it.
Horror House on Highway 5.
It'll be fun.
People like it. I've heard people talk about it before.
I'm excited.
I've never seen it. Okay, keep those requests coming in. The randomizer on my phone, the randomizer app. I put all the listener picks in there, and when it's time to do a listener pick, I hit that randomizer button, and it picks one of them. And I keep track of who recommended it and what platform they used to recommend it. So, do it, and I'll get in touch with you, hopefully.
Yes.
And we'll talk about your movie that you want us to
Love it.
Okay, shit, I think that's it.
That's it.
I think that's all of it.
Yep. Back in your straight jackets.
In all truth, though, kids, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Don't cause no problems.
Be kind to people.
Just kick back.
Be kind.
Watch people get killed in the most grotesque of ways.
In film.
In film.
Yeah.
Or don't. Like this movie that we watched. We saw a couple kills, but it was mostly about being weird. Watch weird movies. Watch whatever. I want to watch Melancholia.
Yeah, I'm into that.
I just maybe watched. We'll
watch
I liked.
Tell you about it.
I liked The House That Jack Built. I liked. Dandy didn't watch. Dandelion didn't watch Antichrist, but I actually liked Antichrist. I like that dark artsy shit.
No, I think you watched it when I was doing a psychic fair. I was like,
maybe that was it.
In Yahats doing a psychic fair.
Maybe that was it.
Uh huh. Yes. Doing reading.
I thought you left. I thought you decided it wasn't for you.
Yeah, I wasn't into it. I wasn't into it, and I did leave. And then when I actually went to Yahats to do the psychic fair.
Oh, did I turn it off when you left?
And you went watched, to bed? Yeah, you watched it.
I watched it while you were away.
Uh-huh. Yes, and I heard a lot
Chaos
about it.
Chaos reigns.
Yeah, I heard a lot about it, but I wasn't into it.
I liked Antichrist.
There are a few. There are a few of those movies that I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
I ain't into that.
I will watch anything. I won't enjoy just anything. I watched The Strange Thing About the Johnsons.
Yeah.
That first Ari Aster movie. Ari Aster, who did Hereditary and Midsommar. It's gross. It's a really good film, but I didn't enjoy it. It was gross.
Yeah, some film, I mean, some art is not, you know, there to make you feel lovely, you know?
That reminds me, I was hearing somewhere that Tom Six, who made the Human Centipede movies, he cannot get his new movie released on the grounds that it is not politically correct.
Oh, wow.
It's too offensive for audiences right now. And as much as I don't like people, I mean, I do think there's a thing of people getting a little more offended than they need to about some things.
Well, I mean, art is one of those things that really should not have a lot of rules. Like, that's
right.
Part of the freedom of speech, really. Being able to create whatever you want is really important. I mean, we watched a documentary about, you know, one of the most, like, powerful witches and artists of Australia.
Oh, right.
And she was fucking literally arrested at her opening night. You know, her art was taken and burned. Like, she was burned at the stake, only it was her art being burned. It's just...
Yeah.
I'm sickened by people burning books and creating such a, I just, that, you know, that riles me right up.
Yeah. Now, I don't know, there's a lot I don't know about that specific situation. Tom Six, I haven't seen the Human Centipede films.
Right.
I don't know anything about the subject matter of his new film. I don't know anything about it.
I don't either. I just do not like the idea of people freaking out.
It's not that it's being censored. It hasn't even been fucking seen, you know, except by studio executives or whatever who are like... Now, I understand that that just happens. You know, you can't blame everything on quote-unquote cancel culture. You know, it might just be a shitty film.
Right.
I have no idea.
Who knows?
It is... A shame, though, to think that somebody spent the time and money and things on making a movie after they'd had, even if it's infamous, a successful franchise.
Yeah.
You know, they made those Human Centipede movies.
Yeah.
All horror fans know of them.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't seen them because I feel like it's a joke that I got, that the punchline was given to me before I heard the joke.
Yeah, me too.
You know,
plus,
so,
being a burlesque performer, I saw several performances.
You got burned out on it.
On Human Centipede that were amazing. And, like, I just didn't really want to have anything to do with the movie after that.
Yeah. You know? The rumor is that the Human Centipede is fine, that Human Centipede 2 is the really fucked up one. Anyway. Good luck, Tom Six. I hope that somebody will put out your movie at some point. I'm sure you could get... I mean, can't you just distribute it through Amazon or some shit? I don't know. I feel like the movie experience is different now. You don't necessarily... I mean, unless you want to make a big hit or something, you don't necessarily need all that studio money to distribute a movie. I feel like there are...
There's got to be ways to put it out.
There are other options, even if you're not going with a major or anything like that. You know, there's got to be options. So... I don't know. But we have 6 listeners estimated.
Awesome.
Maybe one of them is Tom Six.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. And he's happy to hear that I never saw any of his films, and I hope he can continue to keep making them.
Yes, continue making films.
The Human Centipede is on my list because I just feel like I'm supposed to see it now because I'm a horror fan. I have movies that are like that.
It's one of those that you're like, I should see it.
I'm supposed to see it.
Yeah, I'm not,
being
you
the
know,
quote unquote scholar.
I don't have the rules like that. I don't put those rules on myself. I was raised Catholic and I'm a witch. I don't want to put rules on myself. I'm like, nah, fuck those rules. No. The mistress Dandelion is not about it. I do exactly what I want, when I want. And on that note, folks.
Yeah, we got it. We got it.
Back in my straight jacket. That's what's going to happen
in now. In you go.
In I go.
All right. Get in touch with us. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you want. I'm Master Seth, your master of ceremonies.
And I'm Mistress Dandelion, your queen of Crete.
And we'll see you in your nightmares.